This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 31st of July, 1958. The title of this lecture is Running the Case and the Rock. This tape is 63 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Hi today. What's left of you? This is the 14th lecture of the 20th ACC, July 31st, 1958. Title of this lecture is Auditor Be Damned. Excuse me. Reactive answer. the lecture tomorrow is case analysis, case diagnosis, rock hounding, so forth. The lecture right now has to do with running one. We're going to assume that you can run it before you find it. Now, I won't mention any names. I'll make a highly generalized statement here. Some people are gun-shy. Others get rock shy. PCs go for the rock with the greatest ease, but auditors sometimes run like scared rock hounds. Very, very scared. It's part of auditing commands to know how to run an E-meter and use one. If you do not know the basic mechanics of an E-meter, or if an E-meter is still something that just sits in front of you so that you can confront it, not the PC, if you do not know that your PC is registering on your meter, and if you do not know what the various things on the meter mean, you have no business giving a PC any auditing commands at all. It's just as flat as that. In the first place, it would mean that you had a short knowledge on the subject of the bank. The reactive mind and what you're looking for. The four manifestations of an E-meter, which are the reactive manifestations, you should have down before you try to find out what a free needle is. There are five manifestations on an E-meter, and they are very simple manifestations. First and foremost of these, of course, is a free needle. Now, the free needle can fool you very, very much because the meter might not be operating, or you might have a pre-clear that no matter what you say to him, he does not register on the meter. Tomorrow we will take this up at the fourth class of case, and I will tell you how to handle it. But right now, there is such a thing as a meter going through a cyclic action without the PC registering on it, because the PC is incapable by thought alone of registering a meter, which is an interesting standpoint. So that is not a free needle. Very distinguishable. Very, very distinguishable. You have to ask a couple of more questions than you would have to establish a free needle, but it might look like one, and it just means that your PC can't. Now, one of the foremost manifestations of a free needle is that it is free. It floats around in airy curves, and it's in motion. And it isn't doing, in any part of its motion, a little stick. And everybody who is not registering properly on a meter, the fourth grade, you might say the mimicry or the harmonic down from a free needle, is sticking on some part of the meter action. It's going up, 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 and it sticks, and then it goes down. And then it goes up, 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 and it sticks. And then it goes down. It goes up, 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 and it sticks. And then it goes down. That is not a free needle. That is PC incapable of register on needle. You say, death, kings, cats, coal heavers, kick him in the shins. No needle registering. And your meter might be in perfectly good condition. So be aware of this case. Now, when you have asked somebody for a rock, and you've gotten one, and a rock's been found on the case, you're liable to get one of these actions because it practically paralyzed the preclear. And it goes up, and it sticks, and it goes back, and it goes up, and it sticks. And sometimes it only moves one of those little tiny slots, quarter of an inch wide. It goes up, and it sticks, and goes back. And you say, how's your mother? How's your grandfather? What price, glory? And doesn't matter at all. It goes up a little bit, and it sticks, and goes back. And it goes up a little bit, and it sticks, and goes back. In other words, it's acting, but nothing you're doing has any influence on it. You see that? Now you go on looking for other rocks. Happily, which we will take up at greater sarcastic length tomorrow, you go on looking for other rocks, saying we didn't find anything, and you find one of these inactive meters. Well, it means the rock's been found. Now, the PC who doesn't act on the meter at all is simply stuck in his rock, but good. And he came to the session that way in the first place. Now, a needle can go up the whole dial and stick and fall back, and go up the whole dial and stick and fall back as one of these manifestations. It isn't necessarily tiny. It's gross. It's a sort of a goofball kind of theta trap. He sort of walks up to the rock, and he sticks, and he goes back from the rock. And he walks up to the rock, and he sticks, and he goes back from the rock. He walks up, takes a little chip off of it, goes back from it, puts the chip back on, and walks up to it. Now, that cyclic action is not a free needle. A free needle floats airily in the breeze. It sticks nowhere. It does not halt its motion anyhow, anywhere, anyway. It is smooth. It floats up, and it floats back, and it floats a little way up, and then goes a long way up, and then it goes back, and so forth. That is a free needle. And if you ever find one, if by accident you should ever get up to one, you will now know what it is. The next manifestation of the five is, most importantly to you, the rising needle, which rises and rises and rises and rises and rises, and finally goes up, up, up on the tone arm, and up, up, up on the tone arm, and it rises and rises, and you say cats to him, and it rises, and you say dogs to him, and it rises, and you say spit to him, and it rises, and you say mother to him, and it rises, and it rises and it rises, and then pretty soon he goes home and goes to sleep and falls back off the meter again far enough to come back into session the next day and rise and rise and rise. Now, to you, that's the most important manifestation because it means that something is being added to the case in every split instant of time. This case is having an additive. It's an additive case. You'll find in characteristic that this person normally believes that the whole universe is caving him in. It's sure enough adding on to his needle. All right, the next manifestation is a fall, equally important to you, almost, because a fall means that a lock blew off. Now, the constant rise, fall, which is another specialized case of a combination of two of these things, a rise and a fall, actually has the two manifestations that could be added into it, the theta bop and the stuck. Now, it could rise and theta bop, you know, theoretically, a very complicated, the most complicated pattern it could go through, and then fall, and then rise and theta bop and fall. It could also rise and stick and then fall, and rise and stick and then fall. But these are just combinations of these four things, you see. So this next one's a fall. It means that something blew off. Whatever happened, it means something blew off, either because the PC came close to it, or because it was a lock on the chain or something, but something came off of the case. Now, that it went on immediately, causing a rising needle, does not argue with the fact that it came off on this specialized case of rise, 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 stick, Fall, 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 rise, 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 stick. Fall, 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 fall. Do you see that? Something's going off, coming on. Back and forth, back and forth. But we still have just these four classes of things. All right. That thing that falls says something came off. It always says that, and it doesn't say anything else. Unless, of course, it means the PC took his fingers off the can. He might have lifted a finger off the can and put it back on, and you'd get a rise-fall thing, too. You can approximate this thing just with one finger going on and off the can. Now, he isn't doing that, so don't worry about it. If he is, why, clobber him. Just reach over and clamp his hands around the can and say, well, conversational tone of voice, never breaking ARC. You shift your finger off the can and back on again. I'll kick you in the shins, you know. Keep ARC at all times. So long as it doesn't interfere with control. It's always the modifying factor. Now, ARC must never be permitted to interfere with control. A lot of you got this absolutely backwards. You think control must never be permitted to interfere with ARC. And you wonder why PCs don't get well. Well, ARC must never be permitted to interfere with control if it gets to that point. Its control comes first and ARC second. Got it? All right, this next one is a little hunt thing. When you see a classic one, you will never forget it. There are many varieties of a classic Theta Bop. But it goes up, did it, and it goes down, did it, and it goes up, did it. Just a little swing. It can be that wide on your meter, you know. It can run 3 inches on your meter and still be a theta bop. But it'd have to be doing the same thing at both ends of the swing to be a theta bop. A theta bop doesn't go up and stick and fall, and then go up and stick and fall. It sort of goes up a little bit and did it. It hunt, and then it goes down and hunt, and it goes up and hunt, and it's equal. You get a picture of a PC yo-yoing, withdrawing. And at both his extreme out and his extreme in on the yo-yo, he gets uncertain. And you see that little uncertainty. See, it's not a stick. Up, up, and up, and did it, and down, did it, up, did it. Now, it can be so microscopic that you have to crank your needle all the way up to the top to see one. But it very often, in its commonest variety, is simply observable right there in the first low stages of the meter. And its commonest variety swings from about half an inch wide to about a third of an inch wide. Theta bops are standard within that category, with your needle riding there somewhere around 2 with a sensitivity knob. All right, and now the last one, which you consider the most important, but which is merely diagnostic, is stuck. Stuck. Stuck is a relative term. A needle which is going through the same evolution endlessly is repetitive. If it's free, it's simply a repetitive needle. There's no sticks in it anywhere. There are no final stops. At no place does it stop. Well, a stuck is a stop. Someplace it stops. Now, if you use stuck as an absolute term, you are going to miss some rocks. If you use it as an absolute term, it isn't an absolute term. You found something on this case. You found a decayed horse, which would never be a rock, so I can speak freely and not re-stimulate you this morning. A decayed horse. Register with a little upsweep the stick. Then it falls off of it for a quarter of an inch down, and it goes back up again, and it sticks, and it falls off of a quarter of an inch down. Now, what's interesting about this is that you may come back to this needle an hour later, and it's going up a quarter of an inch and sticking, and then it's falling down a quarter of an inch, and then it's going up a quarter of an inch and sticking. Sweep, 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 see? Now, that is a stuck. It isn't surging. It isn't rising, you see. It's just stuck on the same pattern. Don't get fooled on one of these stuck points because it's stuck somewhere. But it can also stick and do something else, don't you see? Mm-hmm. Now, oddly enough, it never sticks that I have ever seen and rises and falls. The stick is never on the bottom. It's always on the top. That is to say, it's over on the left side of the meter as you face the dial. It is never on the right side of the meter. It's not rising, in other words, from the stick, but as far as I have ever seen, it is falling from the stick. Now, a stuck theoretically means this on most cases. The needle's constant rise or idle behavior is arrested. Now, a stuck does not stick and rise. Something for you to understand clearly. We never include a rising needle in the phrase stuck. Anything that rises is additive. And they don't stick and rise. These things are contradictory. The red light didn't go on when the green light went on. You get the idea? It's a red light or it's a green light. See? But a fall can combine with stuck. So you can get a stick and a little fall, a stick and a little fall, a stick and a little fall. And the needle seems to act this way regardless of what you do. No matter what you do, this needle is behaving this way. Now, if you crank an E-meter up to total sensitivity on any stuck, you will find it going through usually the same behavior. It's quite seldom that you get a totally arrested needle. It's quite seldom. But it looks awfully stuck if your sensitivity is low. But a stuck needle is never progressively rising. You see, stuck, rise, these things are different things. Now, when you find a rock, you have a needle which is not going higher than it goes. It goes to a certain point on the E-meter arc, and that is all higher it goes. Now, it may fall off a dial from that point and come back again, but you have now entered in upon the last condition of the meter, which is a combination of all other things. And so when we say stuck needle, we do mean the theoretical, totally arrested needle which freezes and goes nowhere, because you will see one. If all brackets are jammed on a rock, then there is no flow, and a stuck needle measures no flow. But a stuck needle combines with a falling needle to make your usual manifestation, does not combine with a rising needle. Oddly enough, sometimes combines with a theta bop. So it sticks and then goes into a bop, and sticks and goes into a bop. And sticks and then it kind of frees up and goes into a bop. And sticks, frees into a bop. Those are all stuck needles, awfully indicative. Anything which makes the needle cease to rise constantly, changes its pattern, and causes that needle to momentarily halt in any sort of its pattern, can be considered, from your viewpoint, a stuck. There's been a lot of question about what is a stuck needle. You can consider this a stuck. But the stick that you are looking for does not have to be fixed, 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 fixed for every continuous microsecond. You understand? It can stick and then go down a little bit, and then it'll stick. And then it'll go down a little bit, or it'll stick, and then it'll theta bop, and it'll stick, and it'll theta bop, and so forth. But it's a consistent behavior. And you, by your questions, do not alter it any further. You've got a rock. It's not rising, not doing anything else. Now, this next condition occurs when a rock is either in total restimulation. The guy just walks in off the street, never heard of Scientology, never heard of you, me, or anything else. He walks in off the street, and we put him on the meter, and we get this next combination, which is really this combination of a rock. But this one you must understand, because it is the biggest case fooler there is. As I'll take up tomorrow, it's the fourth grade of case. The guy could be a very high-toned guy, but he'd still be classified momentarily as a fourth grade of case, because a rock is stuck. And you just put him on the meter, and the thing maybe just totally sticks. Classic, almost never seen, totally fixed, stuck, no matter how high you crank the meter. Oh, please. Please recognize what you're looking at. It's just a rock. That's all. It's not a peculiar state of case. It's not a sign that he does backflips all night long. It doesn't mean anything except that he's stuck in the rock. That's all it means. And you say, how's your mother? And he's stuck in the rock. And you say, how's your father? And he's stuck in the rock. And you say, have you died lately? And he's stuck in the rock. You understand? And he says, you say to him, have you lost your job? Have you got a PT problem? What is the price of eggs in Denmark? Anything. And he's stuck. You get the idea. Right, there he is. Well, boy, you've had it. Because you didn't have the benefit of sticking him. And because you didn't stick him, you don't know what did. You got that? So you swap PCs. And the other auditor is a good, disorderly, standard issue. And lost all the papers of everything that ever stuck on the PC and forgot what rock he'd located. Irresponsibility, irresponsibility. You got this PC. And he's got one of these needles. And you got no list. Listen, get used to it. You think I'm mad at auditors today because I'm talking very discourteously and very growlish and so forth. Well, I am. Because you've been flinching. Just the auditors present. 50% can stay in ARC with me. It's just the same as the guy that walked in off the street with an unaffectable needle, apparently unaffectable needle, see? You got the PC. You say, what did you run on this guy? What did you find? What were you running as a rock? And I say, I don't know. I've been audited myself lately, and I kind of forgotten what all the rocks was, but I remember yesterday we asked him something about pottery. Pottery, yes, I think it was pottery, or was it cars? I forget. Anyway, he wasn't running well, and so I just forgot the whole thing. Well, don't consider you're in a peculiar state of affairs. And it certainly doesn't depend upon his memory, the past auditor's memory, see? Because it's just the same as a lot of people, I don't know what percentage, possibly 2-3%. This is an awful huge guess, based on, by the way, what I've already seen here in rock hounding. And I have not been in any shape to scatter up much in the way of statistics. In 3 days, I've gone over 60 cases, assessed them, analyzed them, in the most part of them, found the rock, and did 30 of them in 8 hours. And for the first time, I can't quite recall in all cases exactly what engrams the PC was sitting in. That's the first time that ever happened to me. That was taking too many too quick. Finding rocks in 10, 12 minutes, you know, bang, it's too quick. And I'll have to scan it down and get it because my file card memory system put it out there and look back at it again is in an awful state of confusion this morning. I'm always upsetting somebody walks up to me and I haven't seen him since Elizabeth and he says, how are you? And I say, fine. I say, hey, how'd you ever come out auditing that harem? He says, harem. And I say, yeah, you know, the whole, that engram we hit there back in Elizabeth and so forth. He says, God, that was 8 years ago. Engram. Oh, as a matter of fact, it's still stuck, he says. Anyway. where you find this silly behavior? A la stuck needle that you weren't the author of. Don't throw in the sponge, hang yourself, or ask an instructor to pass the strychnine. Because it's very remediable if you care to take the time to do it. The reason these needles that were stuck, when I saw them, remained stuck, was because I was not auditing, I was doing case analysis. What I would have done is run connectedness, just as you have it here on your command sheet, long enough to free that needle, and I'd start in all over again. You got it? That's one of the reasons connectedness is in here, and one of the reasons you sure better know how to use it. The only thing known that will totally free with great reliability this. Now, responsibility. What have you been responsible for? Or what have you been responsible for in auditing or something of the sort can also free up the dial and actually find what it was stuck on. But it's more analytical and temporary than the other. It'll get it out of the road probably long enough for you to do a new analysis. But connectedness definitely will straighten out a meter if run long enough, providing your PC is conscious enough to get an idea of making something connect with it. Other things will also unstick a meter. CCH1, CCH2, CCH3, CCH4 will also unstick meters. Old Time Trio will also unstick a meter. So your initial step, in any case, where you have a mysterious idle needle, is to get the thing as free as you can, then go rock hunting and look for it once more. And you'll stick it newly. Oddly enough, you will probably find the identical stick that you first found on the meter, but now you will have a label for it. Do you see how that's done? You free up the thing, you rock hunting all over again. Watch the behavior of the meter now closely, and you see that you are affecting the meter. You ask him about his mother, he gets a fall. You ask him about his wife, and he gets a rise. Aha! Wouldn't Freud have loved something that was as easy as that? It's women! Women's on it someplace! Mother came off as a lock. He'd never thought of his wife being like mother or something of the sort until you associated in the session. He promptly added it on top of the chain as a lock, and he got a rise. And so you take off, and you add in, and you take off, and you add in, and pretty soon you've got a pretty darn good idea of what you're doing. All right, let's take a very fast summary of this. There's a free needle, which has no sticks or bops on it. The reason it is free is because the body breathes and so forth. Now, a free needle is free and is swinging if your meter is set to fall one-third of a dial when the PC gives an even squeeze to the cans. Listen to me. Don't you ever again jack up a meter so it'll be free. Three people here have jacked up a meter so that it would be free and have gone off the rock. A free needle registers with one-third of a fall of the dial. And a free needle is usually about a third of the dial. It just wanders around over a third of a dial. And you talk to the person. There's no sticks in it anywhere. There's no abrupt change of direction in it anywhere. You talk to the person and you say, how's tricks, and how's your last death, and how's this, and how's that, and the next doggone, and you try to get a lie reaction on the thing and so forth. You get nothing on it. You want it to be absolutely free. You turn around and use connectedness to see if you change the pattern of the needle. And if you use connectedness and tried to change the pattern of the needle and got no shift on it either, boy, that's sure a free needle. And after that, after you've checked out a free needle or two, you'll never again ask the question, what is a free needle? The guy doesn't react on it, that's all. He's clear. Now, the funny part of it is you can ask clear to act on the needle, and he will. You can say, mock up a man, make him more solid. You got an action on the meter. You ask a person who is just doing one of these rock swings, you know, he's anchored. You say, mock up a man, make him more solid, and it just goes right on swinging, and it doesn't do a thing to it. Got it? A clear can add in enough mass to make a needle read differently. And a person who has an apparently unaffected needle, an apparently unaffected needle can't do this. The unaffected needle just goes on being unaffected, not only now by the auditor, but also the preclear, which makes it unanimous. And this boy is stuck in a rock. Entirely different things, you see. You have to learn how to look. Now, I know I'm being cross with you and so forth with regard to something like this. We're going to take up auditing, and we're taking up auditing and auditing commands. Now, what I've said to you about the meter in the first half hour of this lecture applies to auditing, not to rock hunting. Because as you audit, all five of these manifestations will come into view, as well as this combination at the end, which is a combination between a stuck and a fall, or a stuck and a theta bob. You'll see all five of them. You've got to know what these things are to know whether your auditing commands are doing anything to the case or not, and to know when a process is flat. A process is flat when the meter is set to fall one-third of the dial, when the cans are steadily squeezed and let go of. Not a sudden punch squeeze, just a steady pressure in and a let go. When that meter is set there, and the needle is up in the middle of the dial with the tone arm, and you get an idle and uninterrupted flow of the needle. It's up and it's down and it's back and it's forth and it's around and it's around. And maybe if you had a stethoscope and listened to the fellow's heart or something of the sort, you would see that one of these beats on the meter was actually the heartbeat. Now, nobody's asking you to get the first stage lock of a rock that you're running off so free that it's that free, but come as close to it as you can with that first stage of the rock. Don't let a needle go over to the side of the dial and hit a pin and stick there without adjusting your tone arm and say that's free. I know that sounds like a silly thing to have to tell you, but actually it was observed here yesterday. Person let the needle go all the way over and stick at the side of the dial, says, well, it's free because the needle isn't moving anymore. Spoils one's faith to do things like that. Now, here is your clue. Here's the whole clue to the whole thing. The thing was a stuck needle. Now, what's a stuck needle? We use that term carelessly. Go on and use it carelessly. Who cares? But understand that when somebody's saying stuck needle, he's also meaning a repetitive needle with a stuck in it. It isn't motionless. It's just a repetitive swing with a stuck in it. The stick is usually at the top. By the way, I've seen a free needle come over and the heartbeat conflict with the lungs for an instant, and the needle sort of halt in the middle of the swing, and occasionally do a kind of a hesitation in the middle of the swing when at one time it's registering heartbeat, another time it's registering breathing, and the two conflict, and the needle doesn't know which way to go. Your stuck needle's always at the top of the swing, the upper rise side of the meter, see? I know somebody will run into that point and be boggled with it. I just happen to remember I've seen one kind of halt. It didn't stick, and I've actually felt a guy's pulse and watched him breathe at the same time, and watched this stuck, apparent halt come in on a sort of a figure eight swing. The tide was going in and the tide was coming out, and the needle didn't know which way to go. But that's down in the middle of the swing, and that occasionally you'll view that. It isn't consistent, and it occurs once in a while on a free needle. It's this top end that gets stuck. So we can talk about a needle that is swinging through as much as a quarter of an inch or an inch of arc as a stuck needle, and I have seen some rocks register on 2.5-inch swings. They go up and they stick, and the PC yo-yos out off of it again, and it frees. It falls 2.5 inches. This is one of the most extreme cases I have ever had on a meter, but you should know it because there is such a case. And then he came back up again. He didn't rise another micromillimeter. He always came back up to that same point on the dial. It wasn't increasing at all. Stuck. And he said, oh, to hell with this. And he backed out again and fell 2.5 inches. Came back up again and stuck. Said, oh, here I am in the rock again. Oh, the devil with this. And he goes out. Now, you get a meter doing something terribly consistent like this and not increasing with a stuck on the upper end of it, you probably got a rock. By auditing it, you certainly do change the characteristic of that needle. By auditing the wrong thing, you louse up the preclear. So you better remember what stuck it. And if you can't remember what stuck it, don't take a wild guess. Look at that wall. You get the idea of making that wall connect with you and free the whole thing up and go over the list again. Got it? Better to be sure. Better to be sure. You see how you handle this now. Auditing is done in conjunction with a meter and with an understanding of the situation. Now, I cannot tell you whether a Woolworth or Abercrombie Fitch or any dime store meter. You can buy meters, you know, at Abercrombie Fitch that cost $14.95. They're lie detectors for parties. They do work on auditing. FDA talking about a diagnostic meter. You can buy them all over the country and all kinds of manufacturers that work somehow. Actually, all an e-meter is a Wheatstone bridge with some modification which balances the circuit. It puts somewhere between 150 microamps, isn't it, and 500,000 microamps. Isn't that what the Matheson registers? 110 volts straight through the cans? Yeah. It varies in potential. The flow through the preclear, the juice flow through the preclear. People who can't face preclears or something of the sort say that it simply gets onto his skin and then flows off and drips on the floor and you have to use a rag. But it really does go through the preclear in some fashion. And we've had meters as light as about 50,000 microamps. Isn't that right? Or is it 50? Is it 50 microamps? Yes, all right. I was trying to give you amps. Boy, that'd be a real charge. That's a Matheson meter, 50,000 amps. That's about right. I'm not being hard on Matheson. He's simply being hard on us occasionally. He says the electrometer we're building is built simply because we want a cheap meter. No, it's built because we had to have a consistent one. We didn't want one that on the assembly line, one came out as registering clear at the top of the dial with the tone arm cranked all the way over to the right, and the next one came out at the bottom of the dial with the sensitivity off. We didn't want that. And that's why Bob Wingate and earlier Joe Wallace, the guy who designed it, really, Don Breeding, worked so hard on this meter, trying to get a standardized meter that would behave consistently. And they did a fine job. And Bob Wingate's still doing a fine job on it. All right. Now, these meters shouldn't be classified as a very mysterious piece of manufacture. They don't do anything very peculiar. Not being any electronics man, I don't have to stand in much awe of the situation. I can tell you bluntly that I have seen people actually register on an ordinary meter. You know, the kind of a meter you measure tubes and ohms and stuff like that. You understand? That there's no amplifier on the line. There was no battery. There was nothing. A guy just registers. You can conduct this experiment if you like. I personally have tried to conduct it since and haven't made much out of it. But we don't know how much juice transfers from the left to the right side of a human being. I asked an electronics engineer to measure this for me once. He worked for, I think, some ordinary outfit or another. I don't know what outfit it was. Some small outfit up around New York. I asked him to measure this for me, and he says, well, he says, I could do that very easily. He says, you'll have to get me a patient so that we could put the electrodes into his brain. I went with you to a psychiatrist last. He said, well, I have my engagements every Thursday. Nothing to do with anybody in Scientology. I mean, I actually asked this guy that, and that was the response he gave me. So I haven't been thorough. He didn't think I was being thorough because I hadn't done this. In actually measuring the currents generated by the human body one way or the other. We don't have a table of these things. But we can conduct an experiment with an ordinary ohmmeter. You can conduct an experiment with an ordinary oscilloscope. You can do quite remarkable things with oscilloscope. You're working with flows now. There's nothing so convincing as to put a PC on an oscilloscope properly set up and watch him actually flow from left to right, and then when you change the auditing command, and at no other time, flow from left to right. Right to left to left, left to right. You flip the command, you say, how could I help you? And he flows from right to left, you know, and then, well, how could you help me? And it goes flip, and it flows the opposite direction. And you actually see this flow go back and forth on an oscilloscope, which is quite remarkable. But don't build up any priesthood around one of these things. The virtue of the E-meter we are using, the Hubbard electrometer, is consistency and durability. We knocked one off the table the other day and came up. There was nothing wrong with it. And one has actually fallen 2.5 floors out here through the stairwell. It was picked up and went right on being used in session. Durability, consistency, and economy. You don't want one hooked into the mains, you know, into the main light system for a good reason. You get static through a main light system, you know, and you've got a problem of static. And then you also have, as you possibly wouldn't realize unless you stood there with a voltmeter testing the light company and checking them out, you've got a problem in voltage. It goes up and it goes down. Somebody next door turns on the lights and it goes down, and the cloudy day comes along, and it hits bottom, and your electric motors burn out, and it's all quite remarkable. So you want a constant power source, and the only real answer to this is a battery. Now, the old battery meters had a horrible comm lag in them and were a terrible piece of junk, and battery meters got a bad reputation, but there can be such thing as a good battery meter. Now, all I'm telling you is the same manifestations, however, I have just described are present in an Abercrombie Fitch 1495 lie detector. I think it's the Keeler. I think it's the Keeley Institute that cures people of drunkenness and the Keeler Institute that manufactures lie detectors. Whichever it is. Whichever it is, you can take one of their, quote, skin galvanometers, unquote, and do the same tricks with them. You can go down, and if you really know your E-meters, go down to your local hometown detective bureau and ask to talk to the lie detector expert. And talk to him for a few minutes, and he starts giving you some wise, professional chitter-chat. Why, you just tell him you're a psychologist. He understands that. The man has limited vocabulary, usually. And down your psychology, and you use these things all the time in your practice and so forth, and you just like to look over his setup. Well, these guys are all bugs, and they will show you their setup with their blood pressure gauge and their respirators and their the little meter with the cans, you know, except they don't put them on properly and they don't register quite right. Now, you can take the same rig, and you can so baffle and astound this man, so he just practically blows his brains out. He says, what? I've been doing all this time and so on. You can show him a murder reaction on every cop in the place. You don't say, have you committed the murder? You say, have you ever killed anyone? And promptly you get, duh, and the respirator goes, duh, the blood pressure indicator goes, blah. You could be very cruel and simply say to the lie detector operator, obviously your machine is out of order. That's what he'll think. He'll have a letter off right away to the manufacturers. Now, those machines cost sometimes several $1,000s. They're quite complicated. They're very proud of them. But you can do more with a little E-meter than they can do with those big machines. They have 9 to 15% of the people they get there don't register. They're already evidently stuck in a rock. So you're not doing anything that's peculiar and special, you understand? I mean, somebody's been doing this for a very long time, and an awful lot of people know damn little about this. But they are experts. An expert is somebody, of course, who knows the least with the most authority. And these boys would find you if you knew your E-meter well. You were a good auditor. You had a good command of the track and so forth. One of the most baffling people he ever talked to. You obviously knew more about it than he did because you could make his machine do tricks that he never heard of. You could take the lie people, the people that a no lie reaction ever occurs on, run them for a few minutes on connectedness, which he would consider the most mysterious incantation he had ever heard. He'd think it was all right. You say, well, it's just mental exercise to get communication with the preclair, get him under control a little bit so he'll do what I ask, so he'll listen to me. You know, explain it any way you want. And here's his 9 to 15% that never register. That never register at all. And they'd be telling lies with the best of them, see? You'd get a lie reaction off of them, one right after the other. You'd also get a change of character in the guy. So if you want some fun sometime, you feel very, very brave, something of the sort, why, pull this gag in your local area. You'd be surprised how hospitable most of these guys are once they know that you're interested in one of these things and that you aren't just a casual observer. You don't represent yourself as an expert. Just say, we use it for other purposes. There are only about 200 or 300 of these men in the country who consider themselves any good. And I have talked to 2 or 3 of these men and absolutely stiffened them into bafflement. They didn't know whether they were coming or going or whether the machine was any good or not. I put one of them on a machine. I said, have you ever lived before? Of course, he got a theta bop. I said, how long have you been a detective? How many lives have you been a detective? And he said, I don't know, the number comes 3 to me, so forth. I said, well, have you ever been a criminal? Have you ever committed any robberies or any crimes or anything like that? And the fellow says, no, and got a huge slamming lie detector. And he says, my golly, that's the first lie reaction anybody ever got on me, doctor. Very respectful man thereafter. I'm telling you all this to tell you that in auditing and on all human beings, people react. And none of their reactions fall outside of the reactions I've been talking to you about. They don't react in new and different ways. There are some other meter manifestations. We located one right here in this course. We had seen it a few times and hadn't even bothered to give it a name. And then you, more or less, or your instructors named it, called it a slam. But it's a rapid rise and a rapid fall, a rapid rise and a rapid fall. It's not a theta bop. You get somewhere around the rock someplace, something gets frantic. And it's the most frantic up and down you ever saw. And it's an erratic slam. And it's going almost the whole width of the dial. Now, that is a new manifestation. It is used in diagnosing whether or not you're still close to the rock. You get a slam. You can be auditing and get a slam. Don't turn around and say, I've got a free needle. It's unimportant relatively because it can't be turned on and off consistently at this time. It might become important later. There may be other manifestations on an E-meter that we know nothing about whatsoever. But we've been working with them for years, and when they turn up, we're the ones that'll find them, I'm sure. That you, we're, includes you. You'll say, you know, I got a meter that does the funniest thing. It goes up 2 dials and falls back 1. If the meter was wider, you could see this manifestation. Whenever you say, it's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy, the thing turns on. You know, you might find some new things on a meter. But don't expect that they will violate to any wide degree the things I told you. I'm trying to tell you that auditing commands, when used in conjunction with an E-meter, produce standard responses, and that your commands have to be coordinated with the responses. Your responses are coordinated with the commands. They are interdependent. One affects the other. They are intercausal. Now, when I tell you they are, please believe me, because you're not going to get a funny manifestation on a meter that falls outside these brackets while auditing a preclear and giving him these auditing commands. Now, some of you have been so luckless as to have had to do with some people, there were three or four in the course, who were already stuck in a rock. And anything they asked the person, why, nothing happened. The meter just kept on doing what it was doing. Such a person's liable to develop the idea that an e-meter is a kind of a fraud. Now, I know one luckless fellow who bought an e-meter. It was an issue 400. I think he paid 400 for it. I think that's why it was called 400. And he got the meter, and it came in through the mails and so forth, and he finally one day told me that he had become upset about me, and that's not unusual at all. Not unusual. So I said, why? And he said, well, e-meters, he said, don't do any of the things you say. And I said, on what meter don't they? Oh, my, I've had this meter for a month and a half. It's a Nastison e-meter. And just shipped in through the mails. Perfect condition, beautiful, shiny instrument. Doesn't do any of the things, doesn't help me audit, doesn't do anything and so forth. I had him send for the meter. The thing wasn't hooked up internally. It was registering itself, and we've had several offbeat meters that simply did that. They registered themselves or registered the mains. They didn't register anything off the cans. Probably by being shaken up through the mails or not being tested at the end of the assembly line or something of the sort, you could then say they weren't e-meters. I got this thing hooked back up. I think it had about 8 or 9 dials. The devil himself couldn't have piloted his way through the thing and actually set it up with any constant from session to session, see? And he said, well, is there any way we can make it work? And yes, I said, there's a way to make it work. There's an old one in the closet, which was built originally in my specifications, also a Matheson. Go in and take it and go your way in peace. He left us this other meter, and it's a big joke to me. I occasionally watch somebody in our electronics boys take a hold of these meters to make them work or to patch them up or do something with them. That meter is still riding in with a lot of them, and it doesn't register anything except itself. It's very baffling. It's all hooked up, but it doesn't register anything, and I just have a first dynamic e-meter, that's all. All right. The e-meter drill that coordinates with these commands, these auditing commands, the e-meter drill supposed to turn on these various manifestations. Connectedness or havingness will usually turn them off. Connectedness nearly always does. I've never failed to have connectedness turn them off if I ran it with the PC's attention. You should be able to turn these various meter manifestations, these needle manifestations I've been discussing, on and off with auditing commands. You should be able to get used to that meter saying what it says. It doesn't say something else. Now, it used to be that a man had to get used to his own e-meter because every e-meter acted differently than every other e-meter. You get some from Woolworths or California, and you'll see. They act differently, meter to meter, see? So you had to get used to your own meter, and you already had the hurdle of inconsistency. But you're working with meters now, which is a dream of our electronics boys, that all operate more or less the same. Now, there is a difference between the first issue of meters and the succeeding issues of meters in the sensitivity button. One of the original e-meters goes up in actual multiples. In other words, 2 is 2 times, 4 is 4 times, and so forth. The more recent meters are geometric in their progression. And as you turn them up, you get them 3/4 of the way around the dial, and it's only about times 4. You see, you've only increased the meter 4 ways. There's no reason to worry about this particularly, because a meter behavior is a meter behavior, but you're liable to pick up an old meter and find out that the sensitivity knob registers differently than a new meter. They'll both register the same, providing their sensitivity is the same, but it says differently on the little sensitivity knob. That's the only real inconsistency I know that has come along the line on this at all. That occurred because a more rugged sensitivity mechanism was necessary. The first ones that came out were a little bit delicate, and the later ones are very rugged, but they're in geometric progression, and the dials haven't been renumbered. You get an action on this meter. You can put another meter right in its place and another meter in its place on the same PC, just making him still hold the same cans, and you're just pushing the knob in on meter after meter after meter, and the reaction is still there, one right after the other, unless he gets upset with the number of meters that are being thrown in front of him. It's time you get another action. Now, an action on a meter is an action on a meter and is connected with commands. And all this boils down to is this. When you audit a rock, expect a little dynamite from Preclear. Expect a tremendous absorbing interest sandwiched with a horrible boredom. You get the idea. He couldn't care less. He loves it. You get the idea? These manifestations go from one to the other, back and forth and back and forth. But as long as you run brackets, item brackets, on the rock, as long as you continue to do this, you should get a change of position of the tone arm handle. The tone arm handle, not necessarily the meter behavior at all, but the tone arm, the big long lever up there, that ought to be going down, it ought to be going up. And if it just sits there at 5.5 and it doesn't do anything and it doesn't do anything, and you watch it for a whole hour with the thing sitting there, and the needle the same, the sensitivity the same, and the tone arm stuck the same, you get no change. There's something wrong. You can kick it out numerous ways. Practically any process you have the commands for here will kick it out. Run one way or the other. Instead of running help on rocks, run help on auditors for a little while. And the auditing you've just given him will fall off. The meter will free up. You can do all sorts of things with this thing. But you can get rid of that response. Now, get rid of one fixed response before you grab another one. That's the operating rule in all auditing and auditing rocks. You've got a fixed response, a fixed unchanging response that goes on and on and on and on and on. Tone arm, same. Needle action, same. The whole thing isn't shifting a bit. You're busily auditing that button Ron gave you or something of the sort, and there's just nothing happening. It's just wedged. No motion up, no motion down. Man, that's time to get out of there. But you don't get out of there simply by changing your mind and auditing something else. You get out of there in a very orderly way. You retreat, and this retreat is not on your command sheet directly. But you retreat with a good comm bridge to an end of process, connectedness to key the thing out, patch it up, and scout all over again to find something associated with it that you must have missed or that must have been missed someplace. Stick the needle all over again and audit that. But you only do that when you get a no change. Now listen, it takes anywhere from 5 to 15 hours to audit out a rock. And it is audited out, if it is the rock and you are getting change, to an eventual free needle. And when your needle's free on that subject, shift gears and knot and tilt. I know it's rough. Don't chicken. It's man to man and man to girl. Don't chicken on it. And don't wind up that sensitivity knob so it looks freer. Don't try to get out from under. The only road out is the way through. We've known that for a very long time. So your PC is in writhing agony. He's having a horrible time. He's just gotten a facsimile that took his head off. He's not going to stay in session a moment longer because it's too agonizing. He's being very insulting. So what? You're an auditor. Auditors can take it. It's your business. Don't turn pre-clear in the auditor's chair. Push him on through it. Now, you see some reason for the arduousness of your training when you start to audit a ruck. You see some reason for the discipline to which you've been subjected so you could confront one. Do you think a psychoanalyst could confront one, or a psychiatrist, or an old priest out of the Egyptian cults? He'd scream like a spanked baby, and go scooting down the temple steps and hightailing it back to the home village. Don't be surprised if a pre-clear just starts one of these inhuman screams and just keeps right on screaming. But conversely, and much more arduously from your viewpoint, don't be surprised if he's just bored stiff. Tone arm's changing, and he's bored stiff. And hour after hour, he's just bored stiff. Tone arm's changing, getting reactions on the needle. It's up to you to keep in there and run it. Tone arm unchanging, needle reaction unchanging. You go on and on and on for an hour, and he's bored stiff. Also, the bored stiff is simply incidental to your decision to go look for something else. Don't Q&A with the PC. When you get a rock, make sure it's a rock, and then audit it till it's went. And if the case is not now free all the way up and down the scale on practically everything on the sun, moon, stars, find the next rock that was immediately under it. There's only one rock, but it may look like several because you keep pulling one off. And every time you pull one off, if you had seven to run to get the whole rock, seven items, every time you pull one off, your needle is freer, the case runs better, and works better. But only if you, an auditor, get in there and pitch and carry through. Right now, more is being demanded of you in auditing than has ever been demanded of an auditor before. Thank you for your cooperation.